Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Giants have played themselves right out of it. Yesterday morning about this time, Boomer had a feeling. He said, I've got a feeling the Giants are going to win tonight. How you feeling this morning, Boomer? Good morning.
Sick in my stomach. Almost as bad as Jerry. Although Jerry does have physical problems. I don't. But I have more mental issues when it comes to watching the Giants. I mean, that was about as bad as it gets last night. And they got a quarterback problem. He's extremely skittish. Here we go again.
Skittish in the pocket.
I remember this back from 2007. Skittish. And I'm telling you, he looks nervous. The offensive line did not have a great game, as we all saw. You know, Hernandez had a horrific game. Nate Solder was having a hell of a time with Jason Pierre-Paul. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna sit here and say that I thought it was gonna be easy. It's never easy. An NFL game's hard to win, and I know that, especially when you're in the midst of having just another miserable year and you have absolutely no confidence. And just I had to hear Joe Judge last night after the game. I just had to hear what he had to say. Sounds to me like somebody's losing a job. Sounds like somebody like Jason Garrett's gonna end up either being reassigned or kicked out of the building.
He basically said it. I mean, he said it without saying it.
Right, and I'm not one of these advocates that are screaming and yelling about firing coaches and all that other stuff. I just try to give perspectives of situations that I found myself in throughout my career, and I like to think that I'm pretty accurate when I assess what a coach may say or what a player may say or what a player looks like on the field. And a couple things here. You know, they were healthy. You said it. They were healthy. And it was – there were guys open. There were – I don't know what Daniel Jones is thinking. I really don't. And if I were him, turn off any social media. Don't listen to the radio. Don't read, as Coach Cower likes to say, the papers. It's not going to be pretty. Eli Manning has been in this situation or was in this situation at one point in time. You are now in that situation because, you know, there are now huge question marks as to whether or not – you are the guy going forward. You could be the greatest guy in practice. You could be the greatest preparer. You could be the greatest teammate there ever was. But when you get out on the field, you have to be able to lead your team, and you have to make special plays. You make one special play, and if you don't make any special plays and you turn the ball over the way that he did, and you have a 4th-and-1 play call, I don't even know what that was by Jason Garrett. There is a huge problem between the quarterback and the offensive coordinator. I'm not saying they have personal problems with each other. I'm just telling you that
it's not working.
It doesn't look like anything's working anybody has an understanding of what they're trying to do. Now, I've been in situations where my play was reflective of, first, me. I would say me. I would have to be the one that would have to be vastly improved. But then also, I'm stuck in a system where they don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in that system. And I don't know what to tell you about Daniel Jones. There were times last night where he should have made throws, and he didn't.
I'll give you one. I think they pointed out on the broadcast, too. I was going back and forth, Manning broadcast and regular broadcast. And on the Manning broadcast, they use the regular broadcast feed. So if someone's circling something on the regular broadcast, it means they're talking about it. So it was the drive that led to their only field goal of the night. And Daniel Jones drops back, has plenty of time, ends up looking left, throws this pass to Kadarius Toney right before the end zone, and then right down the middle of the field, you know, there's a wide open receiver. And Brian Griese circled it and said, this is where the ball has to go.
Yeah, I do appreciate Brian Griese because I'll tell you, he'll tell you.
And there's stuff like that that happens every week with him.
Yeah, and it's really a problem. It's a huge problem now because, you know, you make him he's a first-round draft choice, man. He and Saquon Barkley both. I mean, these are the picks that are supposed to be the foundational picks of your team moving forward.
You think that there's questions that have to be major questions? To me, the questions have been answered. I'm sorry. The questions have been
answered. Yeah, but the problem is they still have seven games left or six games left, whatever it is.
All right, so then fire the offensive coordinator, see if it changes, and Daniel Jones all of a sudden.
Seven games left, actually.
14 Jets and Giants games combined left.
Yeah, that's true. And it's and look, I know, and we all know that they were stepping into a tough spot, much like, you know, the Jets were stepping into a tough spot against Buffalo a couple weeks back. We know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the defending champions. I didn't think they looked all that sharp. I mean, I know they went right down the field the first series, but after that, it was kind of like, this is the Tampa team that we have been seeing over the last couple of years. You know, the ball goes right off of Mike Evans' hands. They get great field position. They end up scoring a touchdown, and that was great. But it's like, when they get down in the red zone, all of a sudden the penalties start happening. You know what that is? That's just a quarterback that's not leading his team. You know, when you're down there, you got to be all – you can't be amped up. You know, you have to be the one that has to be the calming influence around everybody, talking to everybody, making it – you see when Brady's up there at the line of scrimmage? He's pointing, okay, guys, 48's the mic. You know, get moving there, Leonard – or Lenny, whatever he calls Leonard Fournette. And he's just basically communicating up there. There's no panic. There's no nothing. And even when he plays bad games, he's still doing the same thing. I mean, there's no herky jerky motion in the pocket. By the way, there's I think I tweeted this out in the first quarter. There's absolutely no pass rush whatsoever the Giants. And I know exactly what Patrick Graham was doing. He was trying to recreate what he did to Patrick Mahomes.
Sure,
just keep everything in front of us. Now the second half was a little bit different. I think Joe Judge probably wants to say to him, look, man, we got to hit him once or twice.
We got to get to him.
We got to get after him.
And I don't know if you saw the Bill Parcells interview with Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, and I've been hot and cold in some of the interviews. Like the Kevin Hart thing is choppy and terrible, and sometimes when they get these guys on there, it's supposed to be funny. It doesn't end up working in that format. But Parcells is sitting there, and Peyton Manning, I mean, two guys who obviously, you know, Hall of Famers, we're talking, you know, guys that are legends, and they're saying you can't win if you can't get to the quarterback. And Bill Parcells is saying there's two things that I would do in this situation. I'd try to bust right up the middle and try to make them uncomfortable, or I would get the corners to disrupt the routes and get right up on the wide receivers to mess with his timing. And the Giants aren't doing either one of those things, and Tom's sitting back there having a field day.
Yeah, you know, this creates an enormous problem for the coaching staff. It creates an enormous problem for the Mara family. Because all the Giants, many Giant fans were probably watching that broadcast.
And you got Eli Manning, Bill Parcells, then Peyton Manning talking about all the problems that they have.
And when Coach Parcells is talking openly about the game and saying what he was saying last night, I saw snippets of it. You know, that puts an enormous amount of pressure on Joe Judge. I can't even begin to tell you the level of intensity now that is going to be on Joe Judge starting today. And I'm sure it started last night after the game. But, you know, once people hear what Parcells is talking about because he's beloved here, once they hear what Peyton and Eli are talking about because, well, at least Eli's beloved here, maybe not so much Peyton, depending on who you talk to, whether it's a Jet fan or a Giant fan. But, you know, the fact still remains they know what they're talking about. And then, of course, Brian Griese knows what he's talking about last night, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one doing the circle, and he's the one that's telling you that this is what's not going on. This is where you got to make this throw. He overthrew, I think, Slayton on the left sideline. And, you know, Brian Griese goes, look, man, that's about as easy a throw as you have in the NFL. And you throw that throw in practice 50 times. And you should be able to do that in your sleep with your eyes closed. And these are problems. So you have yourself a skittish quarterback. You have an offense coordinator that's going to most likely be on the chopping block, I would say.
And you have a
head coach that's going to be under intense pressure and a defense that can't muster any pass rush pressure whatsoever.
Well, they don't have any players to do so. I mean, that's really the problem. If you want to talk about failures of Dave Gettleman, that's got to be near the top of the list, that they have not been able to produce anybody that is close to being a legitimate, consistent threat at getting at the quarterback. Leonard Williams last year did it. This year, he's not doing it. Now, a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Jason Garrett, you thought that it wasn't fair to move on from Jason Garrett? Do you feel differently this morning about making a change?
I see a disjointed team. I don't know what the hell Saquon Barkley's doing. I mean,
he's a non-factor. I mean, we talk about this guy like he matters. He doesn't matter.
Well, he does matter because he was a second overall pick.
Well, not anymore.
He doesn't matter anymore. I understand that, but he's still a part of the team. And like the thing about it is, I try not to be too personal about any of this stuff because I like all these guys. I mean, there's no reason not to like them other than you got to judge them on the performance that you see on Sunday or Monday night in this case. And last night's performance was pathetic. It was pathetic offensively. You know, Nate Solder's over there, you know, doing a ballerina twirl as Jason Pierre-Paul's running around them.
Yeah.
You have Hernandez holding and offsides and nervousness. And Tampa Bay's a good team. They got veterans over there that know how to play. You know, Nate Solder's a veteran. He should know how to play. Right. Hernandez has been around. He should know how to play.
And with all the things,
these guys should just calm down.
Right, and all these things that we're talking about, the Giants did have opportunities last night. If you think about it, 10-10, they had the Buccaneers in a 3rd-and-7, I believe, about 7.5 minutes to go in the second quarter, and Tom Brady's standing back there, like basically making an omelet. And then he throws Rob Gronkowski a 25-yard completion on 3rd down, and then bang, they go down the field for a touchdown.
And Rob Gronkowski is not Rob Gronkowski of 10 years ago.
No.
He's slow and he's lumbering, and he's still a very valuable target. I thought Bradbury had a really rough game last night. But then again, if you're a cornerback and there's no pass rush,
you're screwed eventually.
Screwed because the rules are not in your favor.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, the drive to start the second half, and then the 4th down, and then just complete chaos on the 4th down call. I mean, it's not like the Giants didn't have a shot last night. They did have a shot at a couple of times.
I don't know why Jason Garrett isn't up in the box, honestly. I mean, I've always felt like unless...
Might be filling a box by
tomorrow. Well, you're right. I mean, it's unfortunate because if you know him personally, you really like him, and you really pull for him. But when the performance and the results are what they are, then unfortunately in this business, somebody's going to end up paying for it. And, you know, the Giant fans are loud. They're disgusted. You know, my friends who are all diehard fans were texting me last night, this is embarrassment. It's hard to watch. I turned it off. I mean, this is all the kind of crap you don't want to have happen if you're the Mara family or the Tisch family. You want your fans engaged, but you want them engaged the way they used to be engaged. And now it's almost like for the last 10 years, they've been hit over the head with an idiot stick, and they're one of the worst franchises in the NFL.
And they wanted no part of this year to be another one of those end-of-the-road, start-over situations. That's not what this year was supposed to be about. This year was a compete for the division, get into the playoffs, take a step forward. Joe Judge in his second year, Daniel Jones in his 3rd year. That's what this year was supposed to be about. And they may have to start over again. And if they have not completed their evaluation of Daniel Jones yet, and they don't know quite sure if he's going to be the quarterback for them or not next year and beyond, then I do think that they need to move on from Jason Garrett and make Freddie Kitchens the offensive coordinator. Because if that is really holding him back in any way, I want to know that.
Yeah, I don't know. There are a couple throws last night. It doesn't matter who's calling the play.
I mean, the Steve McClendon interception. I mean, we've seen some bad picks this year. Matthew Stafford had one. Carson Wentz had one. I mean, we've seen Mike White in the game against the Bills had a couple. As Steve Levy said, I can't say it better, that's a tough one to explain. That throw from Daniel Jones to Steve McClendon, the defensive tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I can't explain that to save my life.
I'll have to go back and look at the NFL Game Pass. I'll try to do some of it during the show this morning. But there are things that happen in the game where it's really unexplainable. You have to go to the quarterback and say, what did you see? Why did you do that? And you'd like to get that answer in real time so you know exactly what the heck was going on. But plays like that, tell me that a quarterback is really nervous. Like he's not calm. He's not feeling the game. He's grinding through it. And I know that they have a good defense, but you know, they were missing their two top corners last night.
Yeah.
And you have your top wide receiver that you just gave all this money to back on the field. And you have Kadarius Toney out there. And by the way, you know, Kadarius Toney, you catch a ball, it's supposed to be a 1st down, the ball gets ripped out of your hands.
I know, that was terrible. That was a 3rd down.
Yep. Right, and you can't have that happen. I mean, so it's not just the quarterback, although the quarterback is the head of the, you know, ahead of the team. He's the guy that brings the energy. He's the guy that's got to make the plays. He's the guy that's got to make the throws when he's under duress. He's got to make the throws when he's not under duress. And that's a really, I mean, that performance last night is eye-opening from a negative standpoint, because you have to make a decision in this league as to whether or not you want to pay these guys $20 to $40 million, because it impacts every other aspect of your your roster. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, you know, everybody's allowed to have a bad game, but when you're trying to grow in the NFL, too many bad games back-to-back say who you are as a player. And that's where Daniel Jones is finding himself right now. I thought he played better this year, but then last night, a couple of these throws, a couple of these decisions, and, you know, whether it's the offensive coordinator's fault or his decision-making or his missing guys.
It's got to be all of it.
I would, I'm going to sit here and watch this all 22, and I'll see where there are guys open and he's not seeing them, or he is locked in on a certain player for a certain reason, and he is then just misfiring. And he's misfiring not because he's physically can't do it. He's misfiring because he's too nervous to complete the play. And there always has to be a calmness about the player. And unfortunately, last night, you know, I didn't see that from Daniel Jones.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Another rough Giants loss last night. We're going to hear from Jerry Recco to give you the details and those explosive Joe Judge comments after the game where he is not happy with Jason Garrett. Today is also Hungerthon 2021. If you know this radio station at this time of year, this is something that is very important to all of us. So we're going to try to raise as much money as possible today. You can go to hungerthon.org or call 800-5-HUNGRY. That's 800-548-6479 to donate. And we've got a special partner in this today, because Casamigos Tequila is going to be matching 50% of every donation that is not on an auction item, which is very, very generous from our friends over at Casamigos. And I want to give a big thank you to George Clooney, Randy Gerber, Michael Melman, and, of course, Lee Einsiedler, who wanted to be a big part of this. The Casamigos people are the absolute best, and they're going to be matching 50% of every donation that is not an auction item. The auction items are great again this year, and the ones that are specific to this show, we hope that we can raise as much money as possible. Sit in on our show. You can bid at hungerthon.org/WFAN, and also co-host the Al and Jerry post-game podcast with Al Dukes and Jerry Recco. You can bid on that as well. Those bids are, or the auctions are open right now at hungerthon.org/WFAN. We'll tell you more about what's available, but right now we have to talk to a very ill Jerry Recco, who started laughing at himself when he signed on the warm-up show this morning because he didn't realize how terrible he sounded. And this happened quickly, Jerry. This came on in a matter of minutes, did it not?
Yeah, I would say so. I was good last night, went to bed, and all of a sudden I woke up in the middle of the night. Not so great. So, I don't know. What can I tell you?
And you feel terrible.
No, I don't feel terrible. I sound terrible. My throat's bothering me. But it is a weird thing because of our hours. I'm looking around like, what do I do? So I called Al at 2:50 in the morning. I'm like, do I not go in? And I guess in this day and age, you can't go in. So here we are.
Did you leave any of the stuff behind? But I want to know.
Did I leave any of the stuff behind?
Did you shed any virus?
Did you shed anything behind and leave it behind?
I did lick your microphone.
Oh, that's not funny, Jerry.
No, of course I didn't leave anything behind. We're good. I think I've had three people on Twitter tell me it sounds like I have strep throat.
Strep throat?
I don't know.
You're getting diagnosed on Twitter now?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's like the internet knows everything.
Yeah.
So I'm taking amoxicillin. I'll be fine.
So generally, when I get a sore throat, that's the first sign of me getting sick with other symptoms first. But your throat is killing you. If your throat is killing you, then maybe it is strep throat.
Yeah, that's the only thing really bothering me, to be quite honest.
Oh, man.
Smell, I can take. Everything's good. No fever, no nothing.
You do sound awful.
I know. I can tell.
When's your next Rutgers game?
Saturday at Massachusetts.
Okay, so you got a little bit of time.
Few days, yeah.
I got some time.
What about Cowboys on Thanksgiving?
That's correct, but I'm not calling the game, just pregame, postgame.
All right, very
That'll
good.
That'll be good. I'll be good. So we are powered by Superbook, featuring better odds and favorable prices. And we're also brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real close for real life. So let's get to the sounds of last night, because the Giants, some thought, might have had a chance to win. And you know what? It was 10-10, and then things really fell apart for them as Tampa Bay kind of took off.
Evans in a slot left, Brate split left. Bernard the tailback. Brady back to throw, has time, fires one left into the end zone, touchdown. Mike Evans, he just posted Bradbury up 2 yards deep.
Yeah, if it Bob sounded easy, Hopper. It was. Bob Bobber, yes. Bob on the fan.
Just take a look at Tom Brady on this play. There is nobody within 5 yards of him.
Yeah,
there
are.
So in practice, we have a drill that's called 7-on-7, and that's where there are no offensive or defensive linemen. There's no rush. And all it is you just stand back there as a quarterback, and you have a stopwatch on you in most cases because they want you to get the ball out under 3 seconds. Tom Brady is back there. I mean, there is nobody around him. He could step right through the ball, throw it absolutely perfectly. And that's all Mike Evans did, was get in front of Bradbury, and the ball was there as he turned around, and there was nobody around Tom Brady. Nobody.
That touchdown made it 24-10. 30-10 would be the final score. Brady threw for 307, couple of touchdowns, was picked off once, which led to the Giants' only touchdown of the night. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin with the touchdown catches. You heard the Evans one there. Evans, I believe his 72nd career touchdown with Tampa, passing Mike Allstott. Here's Joe Judge. Points, 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 points. We don't get enough of them.
We got to do a better job scoring points. I know it sounds pretty obvious and to the point with it, but I'm going to keep it just very blunt on that right there. We got to do a better job putting our players in position to make plays. We have too many good players. You know, we got to put them in a better position to capitalize on it. That's it.
I mean, it's clear
blows.
As day. That's as clear as day that Jason Garrett is in trouble. I mean, we've got too many good players. He's not putting it on himself. He's not putting it on the players. We got to score more points. Just simple as that right there. I mean, it's all about Jason Garrett.
1-for-9 on third down, 0-for-1 on fourth down, I believe. I mean, what can I tell you? It's just that's where you win the games, on those downs where you have to make plays, and they're just not making enough plays. I mean, it's just an awful, awful game last night, both offensively and defensively, for that matter.
Yeah, no pressure whatsoever defensively. And Daniel Jones, just 23 of 38, only 167 yards. The one touchdown, the two interceptions. The touchdown, by the way, went to Andrew Thomas. Here's one more from Joe Judge. This is simply not good enough.
I expect us to produce at a higher level. Let's keep it at that. My expectations are pretty high, and I'm not compromising for anybody.
I mean, this is a mess.
You're right, Al.
They are 3-7. So we're not having fun, but, I mean, the interception of Steve McClendon, his first career interception, by the way, is mind-numbing. Here was Jones. What the hell was that?
Just a bad decision, trying to get the ball out of my hands, and got to be smarter in that situation.
Who's he throwing to?
He stinks.
I've never in my life seen a throw that was this confusing to me.
But there's no one there.
You know, Saquon Barkley was going down the left sideline out of the backfield, so it looked like it was going to be roll to the right, throw it back down the sideline to the left, to the back, out of the backfield.
But
we've seen this play 1,000 times.
But Saquon's streaking down the sideline.
No, I know that, and I don't know why he threw it. So this is the question. Like, that's a skittish quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Saquon's going down the sideline. They're trying to catch them in man-to-man, and they're trying to hit Saquon. It looks like down the sideline, unless Saquon ran the wrong route.
Possible. I mean, that would make a lot more sense than that throw.
But then wouldn't you throw it towards the sideline?
Right, but yeah. I see the play. But I also know that he's under pressure. So he's most likely got to eat the ball, or he's just trying to throw the ball away, which that's a possibility too. And it just so happens that, you know, he throws it to McClendon because he doesn't see him. I don't know if he didn't see him. I don't know. I can't explain.
All he's 6 foot six, 300 pounds.
Yeah, but he was laying on the ground.
Invisible.
The ball hit him. But all I see is Saquon going out of the backfield down the sideline. That's what I see. So that to me that's what the play is.
Mm-hmm. And he actually looked like he was open too, which is the shame.
Well, it may look like he's open in the beginning of the route, but then at the end of the route, you could see a corner come over there and cover him. It was just awful.
So the Giants have lost 7 of their first 10 games. Here's Jones.
Like I said, I think we were prepared. I think we had a plan, and we didn't execute it. So, I think we feel responsible as players.
You're boring. You suck.
Oh, God.
Get ready all morning. Here's Saquon Barkley. If you're looking for some positives, at least no positives.
No, let me try to let him try to spin it. Let's hear it.
Here's Barkley.
I was upset with the outcome, but it feels good to get back out there and play the sport that I love, and just got to come back to working and get better each week.
Either one of you explain only 6 carries for 25 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I know they worked him in a little bit in the passing game, but absolutely not. I mean, even Peyton was saying it. Peyton, he was getting so frustrated with the Giants' offense. He goes, why is it always a PO, meaning a pass option? Why don't you just hand the ball to Saquon Barkley? You know, what happened there? And he starts naming all the Giants' running backs. You know, he's going, you know, hand it to Tiki, hand it to Dane, hand it to, you know, these guys in the history of the Giants. Hand it to Saquon Barkley R. That's what he was saying.
The NFL is different than when those guys played.
But 6
Much
carries?
Different. Well, when he did touch the ball, did he really do anything with it?
How do we know it's 6 carries?
Right,
I mean,
so
for Christ's sakes, Jonathan Taylor scored 5 touchdowns over the weekend.
Right, so let's you know what, this week when they play, who do they play this week?
The Eagles.
All right, so this week when they play, just open up with 15 rushes and just hand it to Saquon Barkley.
That's the extreme.
Well, that's
side
usually
of
what
it.
Coaches do. They usually go to the other extreme, and you know they'll be hearing it all week. How come we didn't give him the ball? How come we didn't give him the ball? Guess what? This week we're going to give him the ball 15 straight freaking times, and just show you that our offensive line can't block anybody.
Well, how about the last time we saw the Giants play? They gave the game ball to the backup running back. How do you explain that? I mean, how do you explain Wayne Gallman putting together essentially as good of a season as Saquon Barkley's ever had last year?
Well, he's not here anymore.
I know he's not here anymore, but I'm saying that the last time we saw the Giants play a football game, the game ball went to Devontae Booker. Explain to me how that's possible. And then since Saquon's back, that the much ballyhooed Saquon Barkley's finally healthy, he gets the ball 6 times? I mean, this game was a one-score game into the third quarter. It wasn't like it was 150-0 at the end of the first. You have to throw the ball all the time. That's part of the reason why Joe Judge is pissed at his offensive coordinator.
The best thing last night about the Giants were their uniforms.
Yeah, I agree. It's the best uniform. I say that all the time. Yes. Best uniforms in the game. Yes.
Here's Leonard Williams. Let's get to this just because this is a part of the story too, and that's the lack of pressure on Brady.
I can't really tell you why we couldn't get to him. I think I got to watch film and figure out exactly what was going on. But, you know, overall, you know, a guy like Brady, you know, we have to be able to get him off the spot to affect the game. And he was just sitting back there too comfortable today.
Long time. Yes, he did. So they are 3-7, and that's pretty much the way it goes. We'll skip the Bruce Arians one, Eddie. We can kind of move on. Giants-Eagles on Sunday. Jets running back Michael Carter, mild high ankle sprain, out at least a couple of weeks, according to reports. This one was interesting, this Taysom Hill contract. So I'm confused. I thought the Saints gave Taysom Hill this ridiculous contract last year.
They did, but it was like one of those Fugazi contracts that really didn't mean much.
So did they void that to do this now?
I don't know if it's voided or they reworked it in a sense where there's more guarantees for him.
So he gets a 4-year extension, $40 million, to be the backup quarterback in whatever else position he plays, everywhere pretty much. But if he does become the starter, with incentives and different playing time, blah, 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 he can make up to $90 or $95 million.
Yeah, the whole thing's fugazi. The whole thing is just they got this kid, they like him, and they need to spread out money to take some of the pressure off of the salary cap moving forward. So they do these, you know, herky-jerky new contract extensions and signing bonuses and converting salary to roster bonuses and stuff like that, and then they spread it out so they can relieve salary cap pressure that they have.
Understood. All right, let's get to the best team in the Eastern Conference in the NBA. That would be your Brooklyn Nets.
Johnson's got it for Brooklyn at the foul line. Rips it out, gives to Mills. A three is gone. He rattles it in. 89-86 Brooklyn, 10-18 to go in the fourth. Patty Mills with another three, he's got 11.
And that's Chris Carino. No, it was good. There's no reason to scream, Evan. They won in Cleveland 117-112. Mills hit 5 threes. Kevin Durant had 27. So all was good for the Nets last night. They are 13-5, which is tops in the Eastern Conference. Also of note, they outscored Cleveland 65-49 in the second half. So all was good last night for the Nets. The Suns beat the Spurs 115-111. Notable, that is 13 straight wins for Phoenix. Devin Booker had 23. Knicks Lakers tonight. No LeBron James. He was suspended one game for the elbow on Isaiah Stewart.
LeBron.
Sorry, sir.
Obviously, he's not going to go over, you know, off for 50 tonight.
He will not. Stewart, by the way, was suspended two games for his part. Remember, Dwayne Casey didn't think there should be any suspension for his player. He did get two games for happened.
He just went crazy.
He did. And I know he was bloodied, and I know he was upset, but he was a little nuts on the floor for sure.
You think?
Yes, absolutely. But we will get Carmelo Anthony back tonight, along with Anthony
Davis. All right.
And Russell Westbrook as well. Former Met reliever Aaron Loop signs with the Angels. 2 years, 17. Am I wrong about this? I was surprised the Mets didn't at least try and keep him.
Well, maybe they did, but it took them forever to get a general manager. I saw, I think it was a Joel Sherman tweet that said that the Angels and Loop had gotten pretty far down the road before the Mets had even signed a GM. But, I mean, that's a lot of money for a guy coming off a career year.
I know.
You can look at it like that with bullpens. Yeah, I mean, but I don't know.
I'm going to tell you, the Angels must have been scouting the Mets pitching staff, man, because they are paying for it, aren't they?
Seriously, yes. I mean, that's 17 plus 21 with two guys?
That's $38
million. $38 million for a couple of dudes.
Now, Loop is for 2 years, though.
Okay.
As opposed to what Syndergaard was.
Reliever, come on.
And, well, he also had an ERA of 0.95.
Think he's going to do that again, though? I mean, that never happens.
Lefty specialist.
Yeah, maybe 65 appearances, but you're right. And it does look
what
like
was the his FIP?
His what?
What? I don't know.
FIP? X-FIP?
I don't know FIP. I know BABIP was probably in the 200s, I believe. And then the Mets reportedly make a free agent offer to Steven Matz. You want him back?
No, absolutely not. Apparently, 8 other teams are interested in him as well. I don't know why he'd want to come back here.
Yeah, I wouldn't come back here if I were him.
Well, just because they made the offer. I mean, he's coming back. So, and I'll have more next hour for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Giants lose 30-10 to the Buccaneers. Daniel Jones looks lost. Joe Judge is pissed and basically calls out Jason Garrett without calling him out by name after the game. I think that's music to a lot of Giants fans' ears, because there are so many people that we have heard from call this radio station and talk about how Jason Garrett needs to be let go during the season. Don't wait till the end of the season. This guy's unimaginative. He's terrible. He's holding Daniel Jones back. He stinks. So I'm sure there's a lot of Giants fans who are like, finally, Joe Judge is seeing what we are seeing. But is it a bad look for the head coach to be passing the buck this way, which is something that Joe Judge has been accused of in the past, where he doesn't take responsibility and he's pointing fingers in other places, and now he's basically saying, hey, it's the offensive coordinator's fault. We got a bunch of talented players. It's certainly not me. It's this guy.
Yeah, I kind of feel like when you're losing, all friendships go out the window, because there's pressure coming from everywhere, mainly from the ownership. I'm sure that flight home last night was not a very nice flight, and was probably a lot of soul searching going on that plane. And Joe Judge has got to figure out what the hell to do here to get this thing turned around. Now, you know, they fired an offensive line coach in his first year, and, you know, that kind of blew up. And then all of a sudden, now we have, you know, the guy who brought the offensive line coach in with him, Jason Garrett, seems to be on that proverbial chopping block, unfortunately. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you go back and you look at these tapes and these plays, you know, the quarterback's either a playmaker or he's not. And Daniel Jones has shown that he can be a playmaker, but last night he wasn't. I mean, like, you can say whatever you want about Jalen Hurts and whether or not he is going to be the long-term solution for the Philadelphia Eagles. But I will tell you one thing. That guy is a competitive SOB on the field. I mean, he will run with the ball. He'll take off. You know, he'll be inaccurate at times. But at least you know, because you see the effort. Now, he ran for 3 touchdowns this week against the Saints. It wasn't the prettiest of games, but somehow he found a way to win. Now, Tom Brady, if you see when he took off and ran last night, got the first down, he gets up and he gives the first down signal. He's screaming and yelling. He's trying to give himself an edge in the middle of the game. Now, I never saw 1 ounce of like emotion from Daniel Jones. It's almost like he's a robot. There is no personality. There is very little. I don't see anything. I don't see like a quarterback in the huddle talking to his teammates, giving them little tips, communicating with them, keeping everybody calm. You know, this is why guys jump off sides. This is why the down clock always goes down to like 2 seconds before they snap it. And you think they're going to have to call a timeout, or they're going to have a delay a game. And this even happened when Eli was here. For some reason, this giant organization can't get a goddamn play in on time, because they don't know where the hell they are on the field half the time.
Well, I mean, they wanted to draft another guy who was a spitting image of Eli Manning, and Eli Manning was not someone who would fire everybody up or get in the face. He's the anti-Tom Brady, and that's what they were looking for.
Well, I'll also tell you, when you pick the kid, okay, great. He comes out of Duke. He busts his ass in college. He was one of the reasons why Duke was always going to be, competitive, and he stood in there, took a beating, and all the things that you like to see, and you like to think that that's going to transfer to this level. Again, there have been times where he has looked like he's the right guy, but then again, last night is a major step back, a major step back. Those 2 interceptions were inexcusable, and on top of that, he's missing wide open guys. He's missing easy throws, so that tells me he's nervous.
He stinks?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's nervous. And I'm.
But he's not the future.
How about the fact that there's one particular play where the Buccaneers had a 3-man rush and Ndamukong Suh is back there?
Like, there's
three guys in the middle. You have two center. You have a center and two guards. You can't let one guy split you guys and get into the face of the quarterback.
Yep. And then, of course, forces a terrible throw, and then the whole thing spirals out of control.
From the interceptions to the lack of energy to the lack of wild players, they run the same plays pretty much everybody else does in the NFL. They all kind of copy each other, and they look at film, they look at tape all week long, and they look for things. Ultimately, it's the quarterback's got to plant his foot, and he's got to let it go, and he's got to have confidence that where he throws it is where the intended receiver, is going to be.
It's like one out of every four or five games that Daniel Jones looks like a confident quarterback.
Well, last night, he looked like he was a rookie quarterback, and he looked bad.
Year three, totally unacceptable.
And that's going to be a tough one to shake. This is going to be a long week for him. If they decide to keep Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator, it's going to be a long week for him. And they're playing an Eagle team that runs the crap out of the ball. And they run the crap out of the ball with their quarterbacks and their running backs. And over the last 4 weeks, they have run it down the opposing defenses, right down their throats. So this defense is, coming off of maybe one of their worst performances of the year. Better buckle their chin strap this week because it's going to be a team that is going to try to run you over.
Jose in New Windsor. What's up, Jose?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show again. Unfortunately, I'm calling after a big Giants loss. It was so disappointing. A couple points I wanted to make is our offense just looks so disjointed at times. There's no rhythm to it. There's no pep to their step. They just look like they're out of sync from the beginning of the game. And my biggest point is in the third quarter, when we're down to 4th-and-1, why does it take 20 seconds to make a decision to go for it? You give Daniel Jones 10 seconds to line up, look at a defense, don't give him an option to even change the play if he had to, and then we snap the ball and get a half a yard or incomplete pass. Gary needs to go. It's totally, totally on him. And, our offensive line, there's just not much you can say about that. It's been a weakness for years. Gettleman's got to go. And the team just needs to be overhauled. I hate to say it, but we're going to be rebuilding for a couple years. Thanks,
yeah, and really, Jose, and that comes to that next point of what type of overhaul you're looking at. I mean, for me, the Giants have picks number 5 and 7 right now. I cannot have the same man that picked Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley make those picks. I'm sorry. And he's a guy who's had a nice career, Dave Gettleman. He can retire. They could do whatever soft landing that they want to do. He cannot have the 5th and 7th overall picks in this year's draft. He can't be the man behind that. Daniel Jones, to me, I would not go forward with him or Saquon Barkley. And I think that both those guys being on the roster next year would hold them back from whatever rebuild that they're trying to do. And I would look to get both of those guys out of Giants uniforms for whatever you can get back.
Jose was asking about that 4th-and-1 call and the time left on the down clock. So it's a communication issue. The head coach has got to make the call. We're going for it. And so then the offensive coordinator has got to know exactly the plays that he has for that type of situation. They have that big sheet that they all stand in front
of? Of course, yeah.
Well, they have a little box in the bottom. It says, 4th-and-1. And these are the plays we're going to go for. But, you got to make sure that you have all your players that you want in a certain personnel group. Maybe somebody got hurt, something happened to somebody. You never know what you have to adjust to. I'm not saying that that's the case, but I'm just telling you that the communication works. Head coach, we're going for it. Offense coordinator, give me this personnel. This is the play we're running. Gets it out to the quarterback. And all of that should be relatively quick. There should not be any delay in that situation. As a matter of fact, the head coach could do his offensive coordinator a favor by saying, hey, guys, this is 2-down territory. We're going for it if we don't make it here. Now, if there's a penalty or there's a sack or there's a 5-yard loss, then all of a sudden that changes. Get the punt team out there. But in this case, there's no real reason other than the lack of communication. And I don't think maybe it was the headsets. I don't know. But the lack of communication between the coaches for a play to come in that late and have the down clock go down that far before the ball was snapped.
Yeah, and then, of course, when the ball snapped, it's absolute chaos on the field as well.
Yeah, because everybody's out of sync. Everybody's out of whack, and the quarterback's trying to hurry up. He's trying to get the offensive line in. And by the way, the group that actually knew what was going on was the Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense.
Absolutely.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.